This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Here we go.
There's a drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive and the two.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood,
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Let's go for a little ride.
All right, here we go. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. He's Derek Piper. Isaac Ambrose in today to help us out. We've got a great show planned. James Herring, Director of Basketball Operations for the Dayton Flyers, going to join us at 5:05. Good stuff. This morning, Jay Billis was on with Jeremy Werner. Tomorrow, we got Mike Bellamy, Dre Brown off the football team. Roger Powell's going to be on Friday. Had Adrian Griffin a few days ago. Yeah. And then the next day, his son decides to enter the transfer portal, and today, Derek, the other news is that Tevian Jones, within the last couple of hours, has decided to put his name in the transfer portal.
How about that? Hey, I was on Jeremy's show. You didn't mention that.
And Derek
Piper. I guess I don't just stack up with Jay Billis and the gang there.
Well.
Yeah. Not too surprising with Tev.
Right.
And we mentioned this yesterday. If the news came out yesterday after the show, and it was Tev and not Allen, I don't think anybody would have been surprised.
Correct.
He had two suspensions, one as a freshman, one as a sophomore. Didn't play very much down the stretch at all. So Tev looking for another opportunity, a new change of scenery. That makes sense.
No doubt.
The
no
Allen doubt. One, which we talked about, we came on live.
Yeah, we did.
During the 6 hour. Still a surprise.
Right.
And it's a big loss.
It's a big loss. There's no doubt about it. Well, we're going to talk all about that later in this hour. But right now, we're going to welcome on. We just continue to get better and better with guests. And it doesn't get much better than D.A. Points, PGA golfer, former Illini golfer, Pekin, Illinois product. D.A., how are you, sir?
Good, Lon. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I know you are one of the bigger Illini fans out there. What do you think of the news the last couple of days? Allen Griffin a couple of days ago, yesterday shocking us, and then today Tev Jones as well. What's happening to your basketball program right now?
Oh man, I'm super bummed. I to be perfectly honest, I didn't know about the Allen Griffin one. I'd kind of heard that Tevian Jones was going to, and then when I heard that when you were doing the opening, I'm like, oh my gosh, no. Because, man, we needed a jump shooter, and he was our guy, and he was an energy guy. I thought he really brought a lot. But, he obviously maybe had some issues and didn't feel comfortable and wanted to explore other options, I guess.
Boy, it is a new world, DA, with this transfers right now. And, of course, the fifth-year guys being able to transfer without sitting out, the NCAA now ruling, I think, later this year on a rule that could just allow everybody a one-time transfer. What would you think of that? As a former college athlete, I know you were probably in love with Illinois golf, and they were in love with you, obviously, but what do you think of allowing a college student at least one time to just say, you know what, I'm going to just go here now and not have to sit out?
Well, come on, Ron. I can't believe you didn't know that I was a transfer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I went to LSU right out of high school, was a pretty good recruit. I went there as a freshman, spent 2 years, and moving from central Illinois to southeastern Louisiana was about as much of a culture shock as you can imagine. And after 2 years of just, struggling, in school and on the golf course and personally, I was like, man, I got to get out of there. And fortunately, I was able to not have to sit out and transfer right into the University of Illinois. And I made, great friends that I'm still close with today, and was able to play. So personally, I think it's great.
Okay.
Because, honestly, I don't really know. I guess I can understand people always like trying to bounce around in conference. When I transferred, the whole thing was, It had to do with whether or not you were in conference or out of conference. There was some area there. But for golfers, they were like, yeah, sure, whatever. Go wherever the heck you want to go. You know, we're not quite money makers like the football and basketball and stuff like that. So, but honestly, I think, you know, it's kind of the way of the world. It's the way of the NBA. You know, I mean, if somebody transfers and trades for somebody, they come right in. They can play the next week if they want.
Good point.
So I kind of think that that's just the way it's going, and I don't have any problem with it.
DA, we see year after year what Mike Small is able to do with his golf program, and you were here and a third-team All-American after you transferred from LSU. What did Illinois golf mean to you? What does it still mean to you, laying that foundation for what you're able to do and accomplish in the PGA too after that?
Yeah, you know what? It means a lot to me because I've gotten to watch how it's grown. You know, when I was there, Mike wasn't the coach. Mike and I actually played against each other professionally for a year or two
Before
he took over the job and really grew it to what we have today as a top, you know, five program in the whole country, based in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, which is just not something that, you know, anybody even could fathom. And the amount of support that he has gained from alumni and past pros or past players that have now become pros. But man, the alumni base is so huge. And the Illini, you know, I forget what they call it, maybe like the Fairway Club or something. They have a deal where, you know, they really have people supporting the program. And
right.
The center they built. Like, man, when I was in school, we hit balls in old racquetball courts under Huff Gym. And now they've got a dedicated, massive, beautiful facility on campus. I mean, it's so awesome.
It is amazing. Visiting with DA Points, PGA golfer, of course. I want to ask you here in a minute about what in the world you're doing right now, because it seems like with everybody, we're just kind of biding our time, reading books, trying to figure out what to do next. But I was pulling up your Wikipedia, and every time I do it, I always just love looking at this. I know it was a loss, but you lost to Tiger Woods in the quarters of the U.S. Amateur in 1996. I mean, for any of us just to be able to just say, you know, hey, we battled against Tiger. What was that like playing against Tiger? And then, of course, you guys, I'm sure, have played against each other. Well, I know you have plenty of times since.
Yeah, you know, it was cool back then, man. Not only was it you know, it was the largest amateur event in the world. On top of it, it's against the possibly the greatest amateur, or one of the greatest amateurs, maybe behind Bobby Jones, a couple other guys. But, you know, obviously Tiger won so many USGA events. And, you know, that day I was walking to the first tee and I had like my own, you know, officer walking with me. And, you know, we're walking up there and it's myself and my mom and my aunt and my 75-year-old grandmother. Walking to the first tee and they're four deep, all around the tee, all the way down the fairway. And we walk up on the tee, and the lady from the USGA, the starter, says, well, you know, where's your swing coach? Where's your mental coach? Where's your trainer? Because Tiger had all of those people with him. And I looked at the lady. I said, see those three old ladies right there? That's my mom, my aunt, my grandma. That's who I got with.
I love it.
And she kind of snickered. And, you know, I went on, and I played really nice that match. I made two birdies and one bogey in 16 holes.
Wow.
And I lost three down to two to play.
Oh.
And, you know, so I made a really strong showing. He made six birdies and a double. And that was a lot to handle, especially at 19 in the quarterfinals of U.S. Amateur.
DA, what's it like now? Obviously, the whole sports world, maybe outside of UFC, is at a standstill, which I don't know how that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. They're still going at it.
But for golfers, what is your life like? How has it changed? Are you still getting out on the course? And what is it like now with the whole golfing scene just waiting around to find out when they're going to play again?
Yeah, you know what? It's brutal, right? Like, I feel for so many people all over the world that, you know, their jobs have come to a standstill.
Sure.
You know, no way of making money, can't leave their house. Down here in Florida, we're nearing the beginning of a total lockdown, but we're not quite there yet. I have basically been with my wife and kids in the house for about 22 hours of the day. I go to the course for a couple hours to chip and putt and hit a few balls. And that's my wife's nice enough to let me go out. But the nice thing about me doing that is that, I mean, I'm out there all by myself.
Sure.
I mean, there's really not too many other people, and certainly social distancing. I'm plenty far away from anyone else. So I'm not at risk of really contracting anything, but it's hard, you know. We got no money coming in, you know.
We're
it's the same for a lot of people, but a lot of golfers. I know guys that are, you know, maybe on the Korn Ferry Tour or just, you know, just getting started and don't have, you know, a whole lot of money or savings.
Sure.
And they're just, you know, they're just at home just, you know, watching whatever little money they got go right out the door for bills and just to stay alive. And, you know, that's got to be tough for a lot of people.
Visiting with D.A. Points, former Illini golfer, and, of course, on the PGA Tour now. D.A., when this thing does end, and I'm confident that eventually this thing is going to end, a guy like you, how long does it take you to kind of get back into gear, you know, into not in a shape, I know you're in shape, but to get your golfing game back where it needs to be to then attack the PGA Tour again?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. Obviously, like I said, I've been kind of trying to stay somewhat loose and kind of, you know, not letting things go too far. The things that always seem to go the quickest are the short game,
sure.
You know, touch and feel and that kind of stuff. So I've been really putting the bulk of my energy into that so that when we do get back and I am ready to, you know, and it is time to tee it up, that part of the stuff is going to be a little bit sharper. But again, you know, the hardest thing to do is try to recreate tournament situations
sure.
at home when you're not in a tournament, right? Like you can try to, you know, try to have some kind of money game or try to do something to create the kind of pressure that you might feel in a tour event. But it's really hard to do that because it's just such a different animal.
D.A., has there been much conversation or communication between the golfers and the PGA as far as what to expect when this thing is lifted and you're able to start getting back towards tournaments as far as preparation, how long, and what that would be like?
No, you know what? We're all a little bit frustrated because we haven't gotten to hear too much, but I guess in their defense, you know, they don't really know, you know, they can't predict the future and when this thing's going to end. And I mean, I feel like from a golf standpoint, like that we could be back in action maybe even a little sooner than some of the other sports, largely in part just because of our interaction.
Sure.
You know, we're not touching anybody. You know, we can stay plenty far away from each other. You know, there's all kinds of things that golfers have the ability, being outside and stuff like that, that other sports, you know, don't have. Basketball, baseball, football, everybody's a lot closer and they're
yep.
touching and, you know, different stuff going on where we're not doing that. So hopefully sooner than later.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, D.A., at a time when we are just begging for anything to watch, and by the way,
right.
I have tried to watch things on TV, and there's really not much that I'm interested in. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, I knew I was addicted to sports. I really know I'm addicted to sports, but it doesn't make much sense to me as to why. I understand the travel, right? Obviously, you'd be getting mm-hmm. into airplanes and traveling from tournament to tournament, but why couldn't they, like, I don't know, I'm making this up, throw together like six tournaments in Florida that all of you just kind of drive to, and you don't have to see anybody. I mean, you could literally, they could just have a bag there sitting there saying, DA points, this is your bag, you tee off at this time. Have you guys kind of thought of that and wondered why they won't let the golfers play? Because like you said, I mean, except for a caddy, and heck, I guess you could tough it out and go a couple rounds without a caddy even. I mean, I don't know why they won't let you.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, man. Like, I'm sure there's probably some reason, and maybe as we get close and maybe see this thing kind of topping off and hopefully start going the other direction, maybe we'll get some more, you know, information from the tour about, okay, here's what we're planning on doing. Here's what we're hoping for. We're shooting for this date, this tournament, and here's our protocol. But, you know, it's we just haven't heard anything. We
sure.
honestly, you know, no real emails, no I've kind of reached out to a few guys saying, hey, have you guys heard anything? And everybody's like, no, nothing. So
well, it's a trying times for everybody, no doubt. And we are excited to be visiting with DA Points. Couple more questions for you, DA. I was going to ask you about your golf right now, at your age now, obviously still young. I mean, how is the game? How's it shaping up? I know you're at a standstill right now, but were you really looking forward to this season? And kind of give everybody out there a kind of an idea as to where you're at with your game.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, the game is coming along. I had neck surgery in May, so almost a year ago, where I had an artificial disc put in my neck. And between having a little bit of neck problems and some, you know, back problems that as a golfer, I mean, I've literally been playing golf for 40 years.
Wow.
And I'm 43. So I've been playing for, you know, virtually my whole life. Swinging in one direction, you know, all of us are going to have back problems. You know, yeah, I mean, look at Tiger Woods. Look at everybody. All of us will have, you know, some kind of, you know, ailment. And the thing that I've noticed is that as I've gotten a little older, it's created, you know, a couple bad habits that I just have to, you know, keep an eye on and make sure don't get too far out of hand. And like I said, I've been spent a lot of time on my short game, and I feel like that is really maybe as good as it's ever been in my whole career right now, which is really nice. That's a nice feeling. And as I, you know, kind of keep the bad habits at bay in my long game, you know, my game will be good.
Sure.
You know, I'm looking forward to getting back out of there. The hard part too, I guess, to stay mentally motivated when there's just no real end in sight. And that's the hard thing to, you know, wake up in the morning and go, okay, I'm going to go to, you know, I built a little in-home gym in my garage, you know, to try to make sure that I'd stay doing the stuff I need to do. And then, you know, I get my couple hours to practice. It's because, you know, right now it's hard to stay super motivated when, you know, you just don't know what's going to transpire.
D.A. Lon asked about playing against Tiger Woods in the 96 amateur. How about playing with Bill Murray in 2011 Pebble Beach Pro-Am? You guys won that. How challenging is that to stay focused with a partner that is just that funny?
Yeah, you know, it is hard. But Bill, you know, that was, oddly enough, that was the first time we had ever played together.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was our first year together. And to be honest, I think the thing that really helped me, because I have, like a lot of athletes, right, and especially guys in my job, you know, we all try real hard. And sometimes we try so hard that we hurt ourselves more than help ourselves. Golf is one of those games that you've got to live on this really fine line of you know, caring and not caring, if you will.
Sure.
And I think when that week, you know, I kind of said to my wife, I said, honey, you know, this is like both of ours, one of our like all-time favorite actor, you know, people
right.
in the world. And we get to actually hang out with them for, you know, a few days. And I said, you know, let's not worry if I'm going to shoot 65 or 85. Let's just try to enjoy this opportunity of getting to be with like one of our, you know, heroes basically.
Sure.
And I think having that attitude and being with Bill, really allowed me to kind of get out of my way and not worry so much about how my game was and whether or not I was playing great or not. And it freed me up a little bit. And then shoot, I went on and I won the tournament, and then he and I won individually.
That's incredible.
So, I mean, as a team. So it couldn't have been a better thing. And we've played just about every year since, and we've stayed in good contact. And, you know, we talk, I don't know, maybe once every, you know, 2 months,
oh, cool.
2 or 3 months. I'll get a random call or text message at a weird time in the morning, or I'll reach out to him and he'll actually pick up. And generally, we talk a lot about Illini sports.
Awesome.
To be perfectly honest. He follows closely. And matter of fact, when we were out in Pebble this year, we watched, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of which game we watched. But we watched it in his hotel room. And we were, you know, like a couple, we lost. But we were in the game, you know, leading or should have been leading most of the game, and then came down. So it was in early February. I can't remember which game it was, but we were frustrated, but you know, we were rooting hard.
That's awesome. That is just cool to know that you've got Bill Murray on your dial. Maybe it's cool for Bill Murray actually to know he's got DA Points on his dial. That's what it is.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that one, right?
We'll go with that one. Yeah.
DA, last question. Steve Stricker, yep. A pal of yours, of course, gets the honor of doing the Ryder Cup could you ask for a better guy? I know that, you know, I've heard so many stories from Coach Small and just from every, you know, not me personally visiting with people, but hearing people talk about Steve Stricker and what a wonderful man he is. What a chance for him, and hopefully it comes to fruition, obviously, but what a chance for him to lead America in the Ryder Cup, my favorite event ever. What will that be like for Strick, you think? A lot of nerves, I would assume, but I bet he's somebody that's pretty stoic and somebody that can handle that job.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's been on so many teams and been a part of them, and he's, you know, he's seen and done it all. And again, all the guys on the team will have so much respect for him, and will be willing to do whatever he asks of them, which is a really great recipe, right? Like,
sure.
You know, nobody's out there going, oh, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do because I know better than you. I don't think any of the players feel that way, including Tiger. And Tiger and Strick have always been really close. And I think the respect is so big that he'll have a really great opportunity. And, you know, gosh, it's such a tough thing to think that the captain, you know, really has that much influence on, you know, I mean, because when it comes down to it, the guys have got to go out there and make putts.
Good point.
And the hardest part, really, it's just trying to get I think the captain's biggest job in my looking at it from the outside is that just trying to get the guys together to that they can feed off each other and have like the great rapport and be like, all right, let's go do this together. And that's the kind of thing a captain can really do. Like, I think when you see like a couple years ago, they had a real problem with Tom Watson, and you know, Tom just kind of went with this deal where I know better than all of you.
Right.
And didn't really take any, you know, information from any of the other guys. Whereas Strick is, he's not that kind of guy. He's going to be like, hey man, I want us to all be successful together. So, you know, talk to me, tell me what, you know, who you want to be with, what do you want to do? And we'll make it happen. And I think that's one of his best qualities. He's just a super guy and loves everybody.
Yep.
DA, one more quick one, if you don't mind. We started off talking about Illini hoops, and I saw that Zach Johnson, Iowa City native, was a little chatty on Twitter after the win at home against Illinois in early February, and you saw you tweet back at him. Did he happen to have anything to say after the regular season finale in Champaign when those teams got together?
No, he didn't. I sent him, you know what, I probably should have sent it over Twitter. But I sent him kind of a personal text, and I was like, you got anything? You got anything? And he was like, nice win. You know, and he was just like, I deserve that. But, you know, we always, because there's not a whole lot of Big Ten guys out there. You know,
right.
There's maybe Luke Donald, a Northwestern guy here or there. Or, you know, I feel like there might be a Purdue guy around. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of us Big Ten guys on tour. So when we get around each other, we got to all kind of, we kind of got to muck it up a little bit and give each other a hard time.
I love it. The pride of Pekin, Illinois. It's amazing, DA, what you have been able to accomplish in the golf world. I've been very fortunate to meet you a couple of times, and you are a wonderful gentleman. And thank you so much for joining us today. It means a lot. I know our listeners are loving it. I know Coach Small's loving this as well. A great program here in Illinois, and you are a perfect example of that, DA. Thank you so much. Good luck when the season starts again.
You got it. Thanks, Lon. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, guys.
Okay, buddy.
Thanks,
DA Points. That is great stuff. PGA Tour golfer, PGA golfer, of course, Illini Golf Product. I did not know he had gone to LSU. Go Tigers! So he maybe he had a little bit of a rooting interest maybe in the national title game this year, but certainly came back to Illinois and kind of laid the foundation for him. And you think about, we know, right, how many great golfers have come through Illinois, Steve Stricker being one of them, Mike Small being another, DA Points. Well, those are the three most successful right now. Now, Thomas Peters is on a route right now. I guess probably Small would say Peters has got me. Maybe. I mean, Mike Small had some really good time on the PGA. I think Mike Small is a guy that could go on the Champions Tour, the 50 and over. Sorry, Coach. I'm almost there with you. I think Coach Small could go on the Champions Tour, and if he wanted to take it serious, could do really well. I mean, the fact that he's able to coach, I've said this 100 times, the fact that he spends all of his time coaching, hardly ever gets to a course to practice, and still can go out and compete with those guys,
yeah.
I mean, that is unreal to think that you can go compete with professionals when they're working at it every day of the week, and you're working at it once a week. I mean, that's the amazing thing about Mike Small. But, you know, you think of all the golfers that have come through here, like a Thomas Peters and such, and yet D.A. Points is a guy that is ultra successful. 7 professional wins, I believe is correct. And I know, you know, 2 or 3 on the PGA Tour.
On the PGA Tour.
So, I mean, it's an amazing thing that he's been able to accomplish. And a cool thing that he's from Pekin, Illinois. I know Pekin Insurance is a big sponsor of DA Points. I was going to ask him about Lick Creek. Like, the one year that I had a chance to make state in golf, and I ran into Lick Creek over in Pekin, and I just... So if I ever hear, like, hey, you want to come over and play Lick Creek? I'm like, no, not at all. That course ate me for lunch, so no thanks to that. But really appreciate DA Points joining us. Kind of cool to kind of hear what all they're doing right now in the PGA. And he even said he's a little bit disappointed that there's not a lot of communication right now as to what's going on. Now, in defense of the PGA, you know, they're kind of like the rest of us. We don't know when this thing's
going to end. Just waiting.
We don't know when it's going to end. I mean, you're battling a invisible enemy, and we don't know when it's going to end. And we just kind of keep doing what we need to do, and that's social distancing, that's staying at home if you can. If you're working, you know, you're doing your best to kind of stay away if you can from people and just kind of do your job. So amen to DA. That's good stuff, man, to have him on for sure. So, all right, James Herring is going to join us at 5:05. Normally, James comes in to the studio. He's not going to today. When he comes in, it's normally, like, literally the quickest hour of radio I've ever had, because we just start asking him college basketball questions over and over. Right now, he's the director of basketball operations for the Dayton Flyers, but he's going to join us at 5:05. I'm excited to talk to him about that and kind of see what he has to say about that Dayton club. I can't imagine right now what they're thinking, because they had a legit shot at winning a national title.
They were a 1 seed. And they're going to be a 1 seed. Anthony Grant won AP Coach of the Year. Obi Toppin won AP Player of the Year. Toppin announced today that he's going to the NBA. But it's hard to think about most wins in program history for them over at Dayton. And to have that opportunity taken away, it's got to be tough.
And then you lose Toppin on top of it, right? I mean, you talk about bad news followed by even worse news. Well, horrible news followed by then bad news, basically. Not being able to play in the tournament, and then your best guy is going pro, which you can't. You can't blame him. He's ready. He's ready to be pro. He was the player of the year, as you mentioned, in college basketball. So that's going to be a heavy, heavy loss for Dayton. But we'll visit with James Herring at 5:05. Excited for that. As mentioned, Jay Billis and Derek Piper were on the Jeremy Warner Show today. We're going to replay, though, Billis, only because you get the chance to talk on this show.
Right.
So it'd be odd to introduce a story, you know, introduce an interview of you.
We're not going to replay what I said.
Correct. No. Yeah. We can just hear that live. So we will hear what Jay Billis had to say. Great get by Austin Birkeland. Another thing that came down the pipe while we're doing this, we're kind of having a little competition. But I tell you what, the teamwork right now between Jeremy and Austin and you and Trevor and I is phenomenal. And we are basically each trying to one up each other. I mean, you and I have had Adrian Griffin on. We've had D.A. Points on. Who am I forgetting already?
Jack Ingram.
Jack Ingram was on, which was awesome. Roger Powell. Raj. He's coming on Friday. Yep. I can't wait for that. Dre Brown, of course, who had a monster season for Illinois last year. That run against Wisconsin. Oh, man, I could watch that over and over. Dre's going to join us tomorrow at 4:30. He's excited for that. No, I'm sorry, at 5:05. He's excited for that. Mike Bellamy, Coach Bellamy, is going to come on with us. So we're just trying to one-up each other as we go. And tomorrow, Bruce Weber, former Illinois coach, of course, now the Kansas State coach, is going to join Jeremy Warner's show. So, all right.
I believe it's they tweeted out the 15-year anniversary of the Arizona game.
Oh, wow. Okay. And, of course, Weber, big part of that, no doubt. So, yeah, we hear you, Warner and Birkeland. We see what you got. We're working on some undercover stuff here, but we're trying to do our best. We're challenging each other,
yeah,
and we're all five becoming better. I think, in the radio, because this is really, in a weird way, not having sports is reinvigorated me to where now it's like, okay, let's think outside the box. And we asked a lot of you yesterday who you would love to hear from. I know Luther Head was one, Lou Henson. So we're going to do our best to try to get that. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was another one. I'd love to talk to Dale Earnhardt Jr. I have no idea how to even get a hold of Dale Earnhardt Jr. I don't have any connections to Jr. I got one guy that might be a connection, and I'm going
to
use
have a
it.
Connection to Jack Ingram.
That's true. We found him.
Just tweeted it out there.
Well, maybe we need to do that. Maybe I'll do that right now.
All right.
Junior, we need you on the show. All right, when we come back, yesterday the big news about Alan Griffin. You and I hopped back on the air and talked a little bit more about it. I want to continue to talk a little bit about Alan Griffin and his sudden decision to enter the transfer portal. Well, guess what? Today, Tevian Jones has decided to enter his name in the transfer portal. So, Tev, Allen look to be both gone now for Illinois next season. I want to ask Derek Piper what that means when we return. If you want to weigh in, you can. 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. Follow us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at espncu.com, or you can watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
It is The Drive.
New Year's Day is over, but our next biggest sale of the year starts now. It's our 25-year anniversary in Champaign-Urbana. We are saying thank you with huge savings throughout the store during the entire month of March.
I'm Paul Reakin, Senior Vice President and Sales Division Manager for Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Thank you, Champaign-Urbana, for making Dick Van Dyke number one for appliance sales and service. Over the past quarter century, your support of our local business has helped Dick Van Dyke support local charities like See You at Home and Habitat for Humanity. Local athletics like your hometown Fighting Illini. We are honored to win the People's Choice Award 2 years running for best in appliance sales and service.
Thanks, Paul. Let's make it another 25 years. Start off your spring saving money at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World's 25-year anniversary sale. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
At Honda BMW of Champaign, they've got the widest variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for you to choose from. Each of their pre-owned vehicles have undergone a rigorous and thorough inspection to ensure the highest quality for you. How could you go wrong at Honda BMW of Champaign? Visit them at the corner of Neal and Burwash in Savoy, online at drivechampaign.com, or call 356-0303, drivechampaign.com. Hey, it's Stevie J. Just a heads up, we've made some changes to our Stever program. You're entering into a drawing, no longer an instant win. We were inundated to the point where we needed to open the portal for an hour. And again, that hour gives you time to get to the office, get home, not have to try it while you're driving in a hurry. If you win, you'll get an email from us telling us you've won. If you don't win, your chances to win next time increase. Keep trying. Go to GoStever.com if you've not registered. It just takes a few minutes at GoStever.com.
Bad hair day? Bad day at the office? Bad day behind the wheel? Hey, stuff happens, even to the best of us. At least your car insurance rate doesn't have to take a hit. Get Erie Rate Lock from Erie Insurance. Gives you a great rate that stays put until you change a car, driver, or your address. Plus, seriously good service. Now that's something to smile about.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance. Get a quote at 217-356-2400.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
This is Starla Carr with Provident Financial Group. Finding your way to retirement may feel like working your way through a maze. Without a guide, it's hard to see if you're headed in the right direction. We can offer guidance along the way to help you see the bigger picture and make good financial decisions. Contact us today at 3017 Village Office Place, Champaign. Call 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Kenny with CU Under Construction. I just wanted to take a moment to tell you a little bit about our roofing division. We are fully licensed and insured residential and commercial. From roofs to foundations, siding to plumbing, with quality unmatched, CU has your back. We're also a preferred Owens Corning contractor. We specialize in storm damage. We look forward to building relationships with each new client in 2020. The thing I love about CU is that we are are truly building better together. For details, visit CUUnderConstruction.com.
Remember this? Relive the 2011 Cardinal season one more time.
They came from nowhere.
Hear every pitch, every hit of every game of Cardinals baseball from August 25th against the Pirates through Game 7 of the 2011 World Series.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
The 2011 Cardinals World Series replay every day on the Cardinals Radio Network.
The Cardinals Classic.
They came from nowhere.
Relive some of your favorite Cardinal games from 2011. Monday through Friday at 6:15, Saturdays at 6, Sundays at noon.
One of the happiest moments in Cardinal history.
Right here on ESPN 93.5.
Alumni fans, we know great things only come from hard work and passion. Like Jet's Detroit-style pizza. Made in deep steel pans for the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest to the edge crust. It's pizza perfection, and it's back for a limited time. Get a large Mediterranean pizza with premium mozzarella, feta, fresh spinach, and tomato, all for just $13.99. Promo code FETA. Jets, better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
ESPN Radio 93.5, getting a chance to talk social distance-wise from about 6 feet with Stevie J there. Stevie and Diane doing a great job every morning, and of course they're doing a wonderful job along with many here in the community. In fact, Tony Johnston, I heard, had thrown some money towards this as well, but Stevie's handing out gift cards to area restaurants, and we just continue to try to do our part to help as many as we can right now in this time. So I've said it 100 times since it started. If you have the means, try to help support an area restaurant and show them you care, because right now is when they really need it. And I know Stevie brought this up one time on a show, and it makes so much sense. The best thing you could do is if there's a restaurant that you love and you go to it all the time, go and buy some gift cards. Even if you're not going to give them away, buy them for yourself. You know, like Hickory River. Let's say you like Hickory River. Who doesn't? So you go and you spend, you know, $250 on gift cards. Well, guess what? Now you got, when everything returns to normal, now it's like eating for free, right? You don't right. have to spend any money. Yeah. It's like, hey, let's go to Hickory River. I forgot I got this. I got, you know, all these gift cards to Hickory River and stuff like that. So if you get
and
a chance.
Help them during a time where they need it.
Amen. Amen. And they will appreciate it. And I know a lot of that money sometimes, and I don't want to speak for restaurant owners, but probably some of that money goes to help continue to pay the employees right now so that that's how they're staying alive. So, hey, we're all working together. Can I say something before we talk about Tev? Have you guys, and I'll bring in Isaac Ambrose on this as well, have you guys noticed how creative we are as a country? Have you noticed how many funny things are on Twitter and Facebook now? It's like everybody has more time on their hands. We have a really creative country. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it is. I'm a big Twitter guy, so I like all the COVID-19 memes and everything.
Right.
People seem to be pretty laid back on Twitter. I like that a lot. It's kind of funny because we're all posting and tweeting about all the same stuff, yet somehow it's still entertaining.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, how many mock brackets did you see?
Oh, my.
In the breakdowns, and it was good to see Illinois go fairly deep in a lot of them.
Yeah. How far did we go in
Lenardi took you to the Sweet 16.
Okay. Who beat us?
Michigan State, I think, right?
Is that who it was?
Yeah. He was the one that said, down here in St. Louis, and there's more Kentucky fans than Illinois, and we're like, no. Joe, that's not correct. That's not going to happen. And I know Kentucky travels, but if you're in St. Louis, you're not going to outdraw Illinois.
I think he had Io hitting a game winner against Creighton.
Yeah, that's right.
In the second round.
To get you to the Sweet 16. Boy, Creighton was one team that we were really matched up a lot against in a lot of these mocks. So you wonder if that would have happened for sure. So maybe we'll play them next year in the GABA games.
That'd be interesting.
That would be.
I saw on the way too early ESPN Top 25, I think they're second.
Oh, what?
So they're bringing a lot back.
Holy.
Very dangerous offensive team.
Man. All right, Isaac, we'll get with you a little bit later. Of course, at 5:05, James Herring, Director of Basketball Operations for the Dayton Flyers.
Now, that would be a heck of a contrast where Creighton, I believe, is a team shot 40% from three in Big East play. Illinois had one player shoot 30% or above in Big Ten play, and he announced he's transferring yesterday.
Derek, that's the rub here. The rub here with learning yesterday that Alan Griffin is leaving and today that Tev Jones is leaving. You know, those are two guys. I know Tev didn't really show a lot of it and didn't maybe have as many chances to show a lot of it, maybe to his fault. I don't know. But, you know, you're talking about a team that last year, I don't know how many times I tweeted last year, I would get what I want for Christmas this year is somebody that can shoot the basketball. Illinois did not have a good shooting basketball team, and yet we're 21 wins. We're ranked in the top 25. If you add one or two guys that can shoot the basketball, you're going to do some damage, and yet here we are losing two guys, especially one with Alan Griffin we knew was a proven shooter. How much is that going to hurt, and how can they fill that void next year?
I think it's going to hurt quite a bit, especially losing Andres Feliz is a guy that goes to the basket and scores at a pretty good clip. And, of course, if Io goes to the league, that's your top scorer. That's 17 points a game, and he can score from just about any way.
Right.
Pull-up jumpers to the rim. Not the greatest three-point shooter, but, yeah, without Alan Griffin and even Tev, Tev, again, not surprising, but knowing that if he somehow figured it out, could be a shot maker, someone that can at least catch and shoot from beyond the arc. And you got to open up the floor. You got to make teams play honest against Kofi. And if you don't have three-point shooters, you're packing the lane.
No
and
doubt.
You're double-teaming them, and you're leaving guys open from three. And also, driving lanes. You think about Curbelo coming in here, and he needs some room to operate. He will be his most effective. A playmaking guard needs guys who can finish the job. When he delivers a dime, you got to be able to score it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this really puts – I don't know if pressure is the right word, but – I think it's a mix of opportunity and pressure on Adam Miller.
Sure.
Coming in, a top 50 guy is going to have a lot of expectations, but he's going to be expected to come in and make shots right away, where freshmen sometimes it takes a little while to figure out. You mentioned it there in the non-conference, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. That could be a tougher slate early on, and to get through that, you probably need Adam Miller to step up.
No doubt.
And be ready to play early on. And then also, Austin Hutcherson, D3 transfer, sat out this year. One of his, if not his best quality, is his three-point shot.
When Brad, let's be honest, it was kind of, what's the word, unconventional. When Brad Underwood had two guys, he brought two guys in, Hutcherson and
Jacob Grandison.
I need to just do homework on those two because I cannot figure out their names.
You'll learn them once they start playing.
They will, or I will. But when he brought those guys in last year and you knew they weren't going to play this year, and then you looked at the roster, and you had Tev, and you had Allen, and, you know, you had Io, and then you thought, well, we're going to have Adam, and I don't know if at the time I knew about Curbelo, but you sat there. I thought to myself, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are these guys going to do? And then I thought to myself, well, they're going to kind of fill a couple of spots to make sure now he's in a good groove where he loses three, you know, recruits three, loses four, recruits four, loses three, recruits three. And they're kind of a stopgap to kind of get that in. But now it almost looks like a brilliant move.
Yeah, for sure. At the time, I think there was a wonder if you were settling a little too bit,
a bit too much.
I should say. A D3 transfer. Look, Duncan Robinson came to the Big Ten as a D3 guy, and he was a nice value player. But overall, it's such a huge adjustment to go from that level to the Big Ten. And you wondered, are you reaching?
Right.
Who else was involved?
Right.
Jacob Grandison coming from the Patriot League. I know he put up some pretty good numbers for Holy Cross, but it was a bad Holy Cross team, again, against different level of competition. Were you settling when you could have maybe went out and landed a top 100 recruit?
Right.
A la similar to Tev. I know he was just on the outside. Or waited it out for a higher level transfer. But to your point, having those guys come in not only made this team older,
mm-hmm.
where they're both going to be redshirt juniors, but they had a year in the system to learn and practice, and that's different from Adam coming in.
Great point.
Right off the bat as a freshman. So, Tevin Allen were your two wings in that 2018 class. and now they're gone.
Wow.
And for the future, obviously Grandison and Hutcherson and Adam Miller are going to be in that mix, but 2021 becomes even more important now as well.
Have you seen Hutcherson and Grandison probably, I'm assuming, in practice yep. and stuff. What would you say to each one of those guys? Which one is a D3 guy? That was Grandison.
Hutcherson.
Oh, Hutcherson. Hutcherson and Grandison. Not Grandinson or Granderson. It's Grandison.
Grandison with an I.
And Hutcherson. What do you think of both of those guys in terms of, you know, I don't want to undersell them or oversell them, right? Yeah, you sure. don't want to automatically say, don't worry, Hutcherson will come in and take over whatever Allen was going to do. What do you think, you know, from your eyes, somebody that's seen a lot of basketball, seen a lot of college talent, are those guys that can play quality minutes and maybe not like by means of quantity, but more quality? In other words, they're going to be able to get on the court and you're not going to miss a beat for a while they're on the court.
Yeah, when I saw them, and I saw them over the summer and some in the fall, not really much during the season because they closed it off mostly
right.
Once that started. But from what I had seen, I think that Grandison had a higher floor where he reminds me skill set-wise of a Demonte.
Okay.
But I think he's a little bit more offensively talented. He shot about 36% from three in the Patriot League. But he's tough. He's 6'6", 200 pounds. Mm. He's got some physicality, good passer, good feel. Some of those intangible things that you think about with Demonte. And I think that he could either play a small ball four or a three.
Okay.
Hutcherson, you just wonder because he looked so dang skinny when he got here.
Right.
But he does have nice elevation off the floor. He shoots the ball coming out of his hands from three is really, really pure. And that excites you, and he shot 41% from three at D3.
Oh, please.
So very, very needed. It's just whether – can he guard anybody? Does he have the physicality to at least hold his own in the Big Ten? I think that's one question that really hasn't gone answered yet. And I know that the staff is decently high on both of them.
Okay.
And heard in particular a lot of good things about Hutcherson throughout practice. But, again, I think the coaches tend to be very positive – before they get out.
That's a good point.
There, so you got to be a little careful and cautious about that.
Let me tell you one thing that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand, and that's that if you are able to bring the defensive effort and be good at it, you're going to play for Brad Underwood and his staff. Demonte Williams is Exhibit A, and you don't even need another exhibit to prove that. A guy that went multiple games without scoring in the Big Ten, continued to be in that starting lineup, continued to play big minutes. Is it fair to say that Allen Griffin and Tev Jones were just not very good defensively?
Yeah, they weren't as good as Demonte, and
right.
Tev was bad
right.
defensively, just downright bad, and it had a lot to do with, well, I think also just being able to move his feet. We talked about that a lot, side to side, laterally, staying in front of people. And then I don't think he helped himself as far as just awareness. And again, that's about reps and being on the floor. And
yep.
he kind of took that away from himself. He did by the self-inflicted suspensions. Allen made, I think he was significantly improved sophomore year versus freshman year.
Okay.
But still was someone that, you know, not... Brad trusted Demonte more, especially in those late game moments. And you keep going back to the Michigan State game where Xavier Tillman gets the tip in. And I think that Brad, in hindsight, thinking if Demonte's in that spot, he probably hits the box out. Illinois wins the game.
That's a good point. Look at the Indiana game where Demonte made two huge plays late.
Right. But I would say that Allen does and showed that he has the length and the wingspan to create some steals. And that was one thing. And then also I just think he was a little bit better as far as where to be, but still made some mistakes, and that was probably why he didn't start or play 25 minutes a game.
Allen, I think, you know, Allen is still one of those that we're still scratching our head. Tevian Jones is one that we kind of assumed was going to happen. I mean, I even said it yesterday from looking at his Twitter handle.
Right.
You know, where he's staring out into this open landscape and basically saying, I'm only looking forward, not back. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's gone. What did Tev not do right in 2 years with Illinois? I mean, you know, he was a guy. I know a lot of people are upset that Allen Griffin didn't play more this year. It seemed like Tevian Jones was the guy last year that a lot of fans were like, let him play. You know, he has the 18 against Maryland in Madison Square Garden. You're thinking, okay, he can do it, but there's a reason he's not out there. What just never went right for him here?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of it was tied to the fact of he's not taking care of business off the court. And there are two different situations, the freshman and sophomore, that both led to suspensions that put him in a hole. And you're taking and sacrificing some opportunities in the non-conference to get out there and play and build some confidence and also some chemistry with your teammates. This past season he only played in 10 games, only made 3 shots. He was 3 for 20.
Wow.
3 for 15 from 3. And again, it does go back to he had a really quick hook.
He did.
Or at least Underwood did.
Like 8
Tev.
Seconds sometimes.
Yeah, you take a quick shot in the offense, maybe make a mistake on D, pick
you're
up
out.
A foul, you're out. And that's tough to try to get in a rhythm.
Sure.
But it's still a situation that Tev put himself in.
Scott brings up a good point. He says, all you can do is trust the coaching staff. They're going to be around a long time. I think it's ridiculous people on Twitter blame the coaches for transfers. I mean, you know, everybody's got their opinion, so they can, you know, listen, maybe some people have the right to say why isn't Allen Griffin on the court more often. We said it plenty of times last year in a stretch where DeMonte was out there all the time not scoring, and we're like, why is Allen Griffin not on this court? But that said, to Scott's point a little bit about the coaching, you have to lay, as a fan, your trust in the coaching staff. They're the ones that are with these kids all the time. They're the ones that are in practice with these guys. They're behind the scenes with these players. And you look at what Brad Underwood and the staff was able to do. He's turned this program into a top 25 program. We hope that can continue to be the case. But that isn't easy to do overnight. And he has done it. And now all of a sudden you hope that they're going to be able to just kind of maintain this going forward. And that's something that we have to rely on, is understanding that the coaches are the one that see these guys over and over. They're the ones making the tough call on who's playing and who's not. And sometimes you just kind of have to, you know, say, all right, Brad, I'm trusting you on this one.
All you have to do is listen to what Allen Griffin's dad said on our show earlier this week.
True.
Adrian Griffin, about the process of being a freshman. And, yeah, just like P.J. Carlissimo for him at Seton Hall, Brad Underwood, very tough. Not necessarily tough to play for, but he's tough on his guys.
Sure.
He's demanding, sure. But he makes you better. And he had the full support of Adrian Griffin, but obviously not the best thing for Allen to stay here.
We will talk more about this as we go along. When we come back next hour, James Herring, Director of Basketball Operation for the Dayton Flyers. I see your shirt.
Yeah.
I see that, Dayton.
James sent a nice little care package.
That's nice. Yeah. Well, and he'll be happy to know you're wearing it today. I love that. We'll visit with James, next. I can't wait to talk to him. 5:30, we'll replay Jay Billis, who was on the Jeremy Warner Show. We'll let you hear some of that. We'll do all that next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.